Good morning and welcome back, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan, and I'm thrilled that you're with us. It is Friday, April 20th, 2007, 2 a.m. here on the nose in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. And welcome if you might be listening at our website or other sites or AM and FM stations around the world, around the country. Welcome to all of you. Our phone number is 800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Now, if you are calling internationally and maybe you said, well, I can't ever get through on that 800 number. It doesn't work in my country. If you go to republicbroadcasting.org and you look up the office number, you can do that. And then just hit the extension. That'll put you through to our board operator there, Thomas, our producer. I call him a lot of other things, mostly on the air. I try to keep it clean. But, yes, he's a good man, and he will answer your calls. So, interesting. Today, April 20th, 2007, now it is officially, meaning all day Friday, of course, it is the anniversary of the Columbine Massacre. Earlier in the week, we had the situation at Virginia Tech. And it's also Adolf Hitler's birthday. So, very, very bizarre time. I don't know. It is what it is. We're going to talk about the Virginia Tech shooter and sort of what's been going on there. There's a lot of issues I think need to be raised with that one in particular. But just as far as news itself goes, there's some very significant things going on in the world. And we should probably talk about at least some of them, because I do think this is an interesting thing. So, you probably have heard this before, but it bears some repeating. This is from Financial Times, and it came out on the 17th. Laws that make denying or trivializing the Holocaust a criminal offense punishable by jail sentences will be introduced across the European Union, according to a proposal expecting to win backing from ministers Thursday. Offenders will face up to 3 years in jail under the proposed legislation, which will also apply to inciting violence against ethnic, religious, or national groups. That's very interesting. Diplomats in Brussels voiced confidence on Tuesday that the controversial plan, which has been the subject of heated debate for 6 years, will be endorsed by member states. However, the Baltic countries and Poland are still holding out for an inclusion of Stalinist crimes alongside the Holocaust in the text, a move that is being resisted by the majority of the other EU countries. The latest draft seen by the Financial Times will make it mandatory for all Union member states to punish public incitement, quote, to violence or hatred directed against a group or persons or a member of such a group defined by reference, race, color, religion, descent, or national or ethnic origin, end quote, which pretty much sounds like it covers just about everybody. They will also have to criminalize, quote, publicly condoning, denying, or grossly trivializing crimes of genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes, end quote, when such statements incite hatred or violence against minorities. Now, obviously, when I was thinking about that, publicly condoning, denying, or grossly trivializing crimes of genocide, it sounds very broad, obviously, in a number of fashions. Now, the other thing, too, you could deem something as satire, okay, to be trivializing that and therefore punishable by jail time and fines and all the other jazz. Diplomats stress the provision had been carefully worded to include only denial of the Holocaust, the Nazi mass murders of Jews during the Second World War, and the genocide in Rwanda in 1994. So this Holocaust denial law, in essence, it only deals with two Holocausts. It's not Holocaust in general. It's the World War II Holocaust with the Jews by the Nazis, and also the Rwandan genocide. But no other Holocausts. You can deny the other ones all you want in the EU countries. Just don't deny those two, which I find to be very interesting. Stay with us, and we'll finish up the story and, inevitably follow down the news pathway we blazed here tonight. Stay with us. Back in.
Ow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants, kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-22-22. 3017, or you can go to Coffee Key Biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. The basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our BAMP, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. And I think that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities like mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Back. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and I'm thrilled that you're on board with us here tonight. It's Friday already, and we're in the home stretch, the final hour of the program. We've got a couple of stories here. We're talking about this first one from Financial Times. Came out on the 17th and basically talks about how they're basically going to move forward with this law that's going to go across the entire European Union, making Holocaust denial, not just Holocaust, trivializing the Holocaust, a criminal offense punishable by jail sentences and whatnot. Now, this is significant because basically a lot of people who they call Holocaust deniers are not Holocaust deniers. They're not saying it didn't occur. They might question the scope which it happened, meaning, I don't think it was this many people, I think it was this many people. Or I don't think it was this, but it was that. Or I think they did it this way, I think it was this. You know, just maybe disputing various points of the official story. Now, that would make them a Holocaust trivializer, not a denier. So they made sure to include trivialization into this law. Now, again, it only covers two Holocausts, one of the Nazis, of the Jews during World War II, and then also the one in Rwanda in 1994. It goes on. They also stress that the wording was designed to avoid criminalizing comical plays or films about the Holocaust, such as the Italian comedian Roberto Benigni's prize-winning Life is Beautiful, which was a satire in essence, okay? The text expressly upholds countries' constitutional traditions relating to the freedom of expression. It expressly upholds countries' constitutional traditions. So if they have some sort of constitutional traditions in their in their law, then it doesn't fly in the face necessarily. Now, it says Holocaust denial is already a criminal offense in several EU countries, including Germany and Austria. It is not a specific crime in Britain, although UK officials said it could already be tackled under existing legislation. Could be, but it's not. You remember every time you see protests of people, like with the Death to America and all that jazz? I mean, which, you know, I don't know. It is what it is. Is it free speech? Yeah. Is it despicable free speech? Yeah, but it's still free speech. But then again, the UK has these laws. They just do not enforce it against, you know, anti-American or anti, you know. Well, they don't enforce it against the Muslim groups, it would seem. Anyway, yeah, believe it or not, anyway, it's just what it appears to be thus far. Now, listen to this. In an attempt to gauge Turkish fears, several EU diplomats said the provisions would not penalize the denial of mass killings of Armenians by Ottoman troops in the aftermath of the 1918 collapse of the Ottoman Empire. Turkey strongly rejects claims that this episode amounted to genocide. Okay, well, we can go ahead and look up the term, but I tell you what, I happen to know people in Armenia. I happen to know people from Armenia. I happen to know people who are descendants of those who led that. And by every account that I've ever heard, it absolutely meets the criteria of genocide. So yes, the genocide of Armenians is okay, but not the genocide of Jews or others, because it wasn't just the Jews in World War II. And you can't... It's definitely genocide when you're talking about the Rwanda situation, but not the Armenians. The Armenians, it's okay to go willy-nilly on the Armenian people. It doesn't matter. That does not constitute genocide. And they did this, why? To appease to Turkey. Now, very, very few governments in the world have recognized the Armenian genocide, and the United States government does not, which I'm sure is a true affront to Armenian Americans out there. It finishes up with this. The proposal draws what is likely to be a controversial distinction between inciting violence against racial or ethnic groups and against religious groups. Attacks against Muslims, Jews, or other faiths will only be penalized if they go on to incite violence against ethnic or racial groups, the draft text states. So who knows how this is all going to go through, but this was a big, big, big thing that Angela Merkel wanted, as I believe she's still... EU presidency, I think she has that currently. I'm not sure offhand. But very, very interesting stuff. And anyway, it goes on into other stories as well, which we're going to get into here. So this is not necessarily about the genocide per se, but it is. There's a comparison made to the Nazis, and I think it's an important story given the political climate. And we'll take your calls as soon as we finish it up. This one came out technically yesterday or earlier today, if you prefer. And you can find us at The Sun, okay, which is thesun.co.uk, also out of the British media. British doctors used kids as guinea pigs by giving them blood with HIV and deadly hepatitis, The Sun can reveal. Six knew some donors were heroin-injecting prisoners in America, but still tested their quote-unquote high-risk blood on young British hemophiliacs. Victims were aged between just 3 months to 15 years. The truth emerged as Lord Archer of Sandwell opened a public inquiry into the scandal. Yesterday, one expert likened the child victims to, quote, canaries sent down into the mines, unquote. Most hemophiliacs were not that they had HIV or hepatitis for several years. Others found out by reading their medical notes the delay meant that some adult hemophiliacs infected their wives or girlfriends with HIV viruses. The U.S. prisoners were paid for their blood to buy food or cigarettes, as The Sun revealed last year. The blood was used to make clotting agent factor VIII to treat hemophiliacs whose blood does not clot. In the late 70s and early 80s, almost 5,000 hemophiliacs were infected. 9 kids were given infected blood. Nearly 2,000 hemophiliacs have died, and many others are terminally ill. So, instantly infecting 5,000 people, 2,000 have died. Those are terminally ill. At least 9 of those were children. That sound like a genocide? In documents seen by The Sun, UK medics refer to the importance of testing blood products on quote-unquote virgin hemophiliacs, which are kids who had not had them before. There was no way of testing for HIV or hepatitis C at the time. Factor VIII was then quote-unquote heat-treated, but experts said it was the only way to test it if it eradicated disease was by trying it out on patients. That's amazing. It's absolutely amazing and disgusting. In a letter from the Oxford Hemophilia Center, all UK centers, officials say, quote, it is very find out by studies in human beings to what extent the ineffectivity of various concentrates has been reduced, end quote. Now, that sounds a lot like, I don't know, some of the crazy, despicable, and just unbelievable medical experiments conducted in some of these concentration camps, from what we've heard. But just disgusting that this stuff still happens in modern society. Roddy Morrison of the Hemophilia Society said, quote, "This was a treatment disaster. There were gross failings by the government and clinicians," end quote. Carol Grayson, whose hemophiliac husband Peter died at age 47 after being infected with HIV and hepatitis C, likened the blood tragedy to Nazi experiments on prisoners. Fighting back tears, the nurse Carol, 47, said, quote, "They knew the blood products came from the highest risk donors," end quote. So is that a genocide? You can mock that, you can trivialize that, you can deny it all you want. Here's an angle you may not be aware of, and I had looked at this before, perhaps just because of where I live, but noteworthy. I found this at counterpunch.org. It says, the year Bill Clinton became governor of Arkansas, the Arkansas State Prison Board awarded a lucrative contract to a Little Rock company called Health Management Associates, otherwise known as HMA. The company was paid $3 million a year to run medical service in the state's troubled prison system, which had been excoriated in a ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court as, quote, an evil place run by some evil men, end quote. HMA not only made money from providing medical care to prisoners, but it also started a profitable side venture known as blood mining. The company paid prisoners $7 a pint to have their blood drawn. HMA then sold the blood on the international plasma market for $50 a pint, splitting 50% of the proceeds with the Arkansas Department of Corrections. Since Arkansas is one of the few states that does not pay prisoners for their labor, inmates were frequent donors at the so-called blood clinic. Hundreds of prisoners sold as much as 2 pints a week to HMA. The blood was then sold to pharmaceutical companies such as Bayer and Baxter International, blood banks such as the Red Cross, and so-called blood fractionizers, which transformed the blood into medicines for hemophiliacs, which we just talked. HMA's contract with the Arkansas Department of Corrections, its entry into the blood market, coincided with the rise of AIDS in the United States. Regardless, HMA did not screen the torrents of prison blood, even after the Food and Drug Administration issued special alerts about the higher incidence of AIDS and hepatitis in prison populations. When American Drug Company and Blood Fractioner stopped buying blood taken from prisoners in the early 1980s, HMA turned to the international blood market, selling to companies in Italy, France, Spain, and Japan. But the prime buyer of HMA blood, largely drawn from prisoners' Cummins unit in Grady, Arkansas, was a notorious Canadian firm called Continental Pharma Cryosan Limited. Cryosan had a shitty reputation in the medical industry. It had been nabbed in blood taken from Russian cadavers and relabeled it as from Swedish volunteers. The company also marketed blood taken from Haitian slums. Talk of false advertising, right? Cryosan passed the tainted Arkansas prisoner blood onto the Canadian Red Cross and European and Asian companies. The blood was recalled in 1983 after the contamination discovered by the FDA, but less than 1/6 of the blood was recovered. In Canada alone, more than 7,000 people have died from receiving contaminated, many of them hemophiliacs. More than 4,000 died of AIDS. Another 4,000 people in Canada have contracted various forms of hepatitis. Does that sound like genocide? Stay with us. Back in three.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe we'll know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator, that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, But even after Joe quit the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-471. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide standing products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oil, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, of course, and we'll take your calls here in just a minute as soon as I finish this up. 800-313-9443. This is from counterpunch.org, and it's entitled Arkansas Bloodsuckers. It's about this, what they're talking about over there in the UK, about these kids being given this experimental treatments for hemophilia without screening the blood, knowing full well. Well, maybe not the doctors, but they pretty much suspected as much that it probably wasn't all that good. Because, obviously, we're talking about this in terms of going back into the 70s and 80s. Well, the story continues. Dr. Francis Bud Henderson started HMA in the 1970s. His company began to expand. He brought in a Little Rock banker named Leonard Dunn to run the firm. Dunn was a political ally and friend of the Clinton. What a surprise. He was appointed by Bill Clinton to sit on the Arkansas Industrial Development Commission and served as the finance chair of Clinton's 1990 gubernatorial campaign. Dunn's close ties to Clinton served HMA well after the company came under scrutiny for both abusive treatment of prison patients and shoddy management of the blood center. In 1983, the Food and Drug Administration stripped HMA of its license to sell blood after it found that the company had failed to exclude donors that had tested positively for hepatitis B, often a precursor of HIV. Now, the British story says that these could not be tested for. Again, quote from The Sun, which came out earlier yesterday or today, whichever you prefer. There was no way of testing for HIV or hepatitis C at the time, end quote. Well, apparently the FDA feels differently in 1983, saying that they had failed to exclude the tested positive for hepatitis B. Now, they say hepatitis B. In the British press, they say hepatitis C. I don't know if there's a comparable test for just some, but maybe not all. But the point is that if the FDA, which is kind of the benchmark for the world, which is why, you know, a lot of people try to get things going here first, if the FDA stripped their license to do this in 1983 because they weren't screening donors, maybe you should take the, err on the side of caution, perhaps. But, of course, that wasn't done. A state police report compiled as part of an investigation into the company's operations at the Cummings unit noted that the FDA pulled the company's license to sell blood, quote, for falsifying records and shipping hot blood, end quote. The report goes on to say that, quote, the suspension was for collecting and shipping plasma which had been collected from donors with a history of positive tests, hepatitis B. The violations were directly related to using inmate record donor reject list, end quote. Dunn and the Arkansas Department of Corrections convinced the FDA that the fault lay with a prison guard who was taking kickbacks from prisoners in order to get them back into the blood trade. The license was quickly restored, and tainted blood once more began to flow. Ah, yes, you gotta love bureaucracy. That didn't end the investigation. However, HMA's contract was up for renewal by the prison board. When investigators began probing the company's practices, Dunn repeatedly boasted of his ties to Bill Clinton. Noted investigator Sam Robasco in his report, quote, Mr. Dunn spoke openly and freely and explained to these investigators that he was the financial portion of the corporation as well as its political arm, and advised he was close to Governor Clinton as well as the majority of state politicians presently in office, end quote. Now keep in mind, Hillary Clinton, our future president. And look at this wonderful foundation that the Clintons have built themselves up upon. It goes on, another incident involved a botched operation in which an HMA doctor unnecessarily amputated a prisoner's left hip. According to Michael Galster, a prosthetic specialist who worked Cummings' unit at the time, HMA hired Vince Foster, then with his law firm, to help squash the investigation. Galster says that Foster approached Galster with an offer to build the prisoner an artificial leg in the hope that it prevent the prisoner from moving forward with a legal claim against the company. Although Galster refused to go along with this, Foster seems to have accomplished his task. The state's internal investigation of HMA cleared the company of any wrongdoing, but an independent review by a California firm found that HMA's work in the prisons was extremely deficient. The report cited more than 40 contract violations and was replete with instances of negligent care of patients and handling of the of its blood center. Much of the blame for the problem was placed on another Clinton pal, Art Lockhart, who was then head of the Arkansas Department of Corrections. When the independent review came out, pressure mounted for Clinton to fire Lockhart. Clinton swiftly nixed the idea, telling reporters he didn't believe the allegations were serious enough for him to, quote, ask Mr. Lockhart to resign. Quote. The Arkansas State Police launched a half-hearted investigation into allegations that HMA was awarded a renewal of its contract after bribing members of the state prison board. The investigation soon focused on an attorney named Richard Mays, a close friend of Bill and Hillary Clinton's. Mays was given at least $25,000 by HMA to act as an ombudsman for the company, a position that had no job description and no apparent responsibilities. So, like, he was paid off, too. $25,000 for a job that had no description and no responsibilities, had nothing to do with a real job there. Mays, who served as a vice president for finance at the DNC, okay, has been at the heart of several Clinton scandals, and we'll talk about that when we come back. And again, if you're interested in commenting on this, you're more than welcome to do so. 800-313-9443. Stay with us. Back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it's energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or thecoffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Johnson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. The basic yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the disease we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for a regular jog 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Service is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integradebtoptions.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking. We're talking about the great state of Arkansas and its not-so-great moments, which has many of, as do most states. But, you know, certainly when you look at all the names that are probably very familiar to you, such as the Clinton, Vince Foster, and things like that, it starts to get interesting. This gentleman by the name of Art Lockhart, head of the Arkansas Department of Corrections, it says, well, basically he was involved in that, and then... the investigation, focused on an attorney named Richard Mays. He's a close pal of Bill and Hill. And Mays, it says, is at the center of the heart of several scandals. It says in 1996, he was credited with securing little restaurateur Charlie Trees on a $100,000 contribution to the Democratic Party coffers. He also appears in the Whitewater probe, where he tried to stave off the federal prosecution of David Hale. Mays and his week... that's what it says, have been frequent visitors to the White House, including an overnight stay in the vaunted Lincoln bedroom. Dunn claims that Mays was recommended to him by Clinton and prison board chairman and Clinton inmate intimate, Woods Walker. Clinton inmate. That would be appropriate, I suppose, too. Anyway, the story concludes with this. In the late 1980s, Arkansas was the only prison in the United States still running a blood program. In 1991, a reporter for the Arkansas Times asked John Bias, medical director of the Arkansas Corrections Department, how much longer they plan to continue the operation. He says, quote, we plan to stick with it to the last day, to the last drop that we were able to sell, end quote. That was in 91. The program stayed in operation until Bill Clinton moved to Washington. It was finally shut down in 1993 by his successor, Jim Guy Tucker. Which, with a name like that, expect him to come from Arkansas, wouldn't you? So there you have a couple of interesting things. It's cruel to deny the Nazi Holocaust, the Jews in World War II, and it's a crime in the EU to deny the Rwandan genocide. But you know, other genocides are fine, and certainly corporate genocides that pay a lot of money are completely fine. You can deny that all you want. In fact, the official position, I'm sure, of the powers that be. What are your thoughts on this? 800-313-9443. Bart in Missouri, welcome to the show.
Sir.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Good. I just wanted to say, express my thanks for having Vernon Roth on the program tonight.
Oh, good.
On the broadcast. It is so well done. And I hope, I just want to verify, this will be brief, is the number 719-783. And please, the last four digits.
Let me dig it up here.
Please. And meanwhile.
Oh, yeah. No, I got it. It's right here. It wasn't too far from me.
Okay.
719-783-0310.
Okay, I have it.
Okay, good.
Now, then please, in closing, will you please explore this thing called oxalic acid?
Did 4 hours on it last night. What do you feel didn't get covered?
I feel I missed the broadcast.
Shame on you, sir. Well, I can answer. What are your questions? I can go through it. We got some time here.
Neat. Well, it says it's in weeds, mm-hmm. and it's in tobacco, and it's in green tea,
mm-hmm.
and you can smoke these things or eat them or bathe in them.
Well, I wouldn't bathe in tobacco, but that's just me.
Well, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, oxalic acid, basically the long and short. Do you have the book by chance, Colonel Joe's book?
No, sir, but I know of Colonel Joe because I heard him recently, and I just I would throw flower petals at his feet.
Amen. It's fantastic. I can give you his phone number if you'd like.
I think I have it somewhere.
Okay, very good.
Let me clear the lines for you, sir.
All right, thank you very much, Bart. I appreciate it.
I love you, too.
Hey, vice versa. Thanks. No, the oxalic acid, again, this stuff does clean the blood. And it's in your blood already in certain proportions, various things that we do, the way we live, the way we eat, the way just we operate on a day-to-day basis without thinking about it. This does draw out oxalic acid out of your body, so you have to make sure that it's getting back in there. And most of the time, most people don't even know what it is. Oxalic acid itself is known as a poison, an industrial strength cleaner of engines and various other things. You can etch steel with it and I'm sure other things. But again, it's a natural, it's in your body, but most doctors and whatnot don't really know much about it. Well, Colonel Joe has kind of, gotten the whole thing together, and in essence, it's in your blood, and it cleans out your blood, which allows it to kill all viruses, all bacteria, and deal with things like poor circulation, clogged arteries, and so on and so forth. Which, again, it's very interesting that he would bring up Colonel Joe and oxalic acid after we did the story about tainted blood and whatnot. I wonder what this would do for various like that, like hepatitis or hemophilia. I don't know much about hemophilia per se, but hepatitis, I would think that it would probably work. And certainly some people with the HIV virus have been on the diet for a while. I don't know how it fared as far as the long term of it. But again, when you're dealing with something like this, you want to be fairly disciplined. You know, if you're looking at health, if you're looking at healing, you have to be disciplined. You have to stay on top of things. You have to make sure that you are doing everything that the diet says to do. And again, Colonel Joe's book outlines that in great detail. A lot of people try to shortcut it and so on and so forth. And look, if you're fine, if you don't have cancer or anything like that, you know, you could shortcut a little bit, I'm sure, as long as you're compensating. But at the same time, if you do, why would you ever want a shortcut? Because you're just cheating yourself out of years with your family, or cheating yourself out of a variety of different things. And it's really tragic when I see that, because I have seen that before. See people get on it and see amazing results, and then they quit. Or they get on it, they see amazing results, and then they go to the doctor, and the doctor's like, well, we still got to go in there. And they say, okay, and they end up getting killed. Not dying, but getting killed, as in, you know, taking of life. Same thing with the energy cleaner, you know, Lee Kroc, when we've had him on, and he's talked about it before. A lot of times, you know, when you see these success stories, people who have used the energy cleaner, jumped on Colonel Joe's diet, and you see how well they work, and inevitably, the doctors will say, there's nothing we can do, nothing we can do, nothing we can do. And then often people make a turnaround, and they show their doctor, look at this, this is great. And the doctor's like, this is great, because now we can operate on you. Before, we said it would no purpose. You know, we can't help you. But now we can operate, and the people say, oh, okay, yeah, go ahead, operate on me and take out that bit of tissue there. And then, of course, you know, it either comes back or it spreads or it kills them. The whole process does. Anyway, it is what it is. But again, when you're talking about these things that we've discussed here about Holocaust denial and it's illegal to trivialize or this and this and this, it's just a step forward, okay, into the big global governance picture. And it's my assessment. And again, we've clarified a number of different things on a number of different levels. But when you're looking at it in these contexts, if you have a global government, well, you're going to have a lot of different governments that come together, right? So think of it in that context. So you've got, you know, various, I don't know how many countries there are out there in the world, probably hundreds. 200 is, I don't know, probably more. But you take all these countries and you integrate them. Now, obviously, there's going to be some that have a bigger landmass, more to contribute to the global government, more of a population, and so on and so forth. Those people are going to have a little more weight in the whole, you know, contribution and sort of what laws will we abide by. So then, you know, that having factored in, you probably eliminate about, I don't know, 3/4 of those countries in the world collective saying, well, you know, you're just tiny. You just got to go with the flow. There's really nothing you can contribute, so you don't get a whole lot of say in this. So of those, you know, 50 or so countries left, you got some that have obviously more pull than others in this New Order agenda. Some people are going to want it more. Some people are going to be working towards it harder. Some people are going to be fully infiltrated and integrated into this agenda. So what I'm saying is that as you consolidate all these different countries into one government, you're going to have to consolidate law. Okay? So let's say that you've got your world government right now. Well, let's say the Americans contribute their anti-terrorism policy, clamp down on you know, civil rights and freedoms and things like that, which were still relatively free. But, you know, again, what rights do we have, real or illusion? It's up for debate, although it'll probably be a short debate. So then you've got maybe the EU contributing their hate speech laws. Then you've got maybe the Russian government contributing their control of the mainstream media, which we already have in this country, but it's not as obvious, and so on and so forth. So everybody's got some sort of freedom infringing idea to contribute to the whole thing. So when a lot of people would look at this story and say, well, hey, man, Holocaust denial, I don't live in the EU, doesn't affect me, I can deny the Holocaust all I want. Well, you can, but, you know, look at people who paid the price, you know. Free speech, I think, is important, and it's important on a variety of levels. We talked about this extensively last week or this week. I guess it was last, talking about Don Imus and whatnot and all the stuff that he had said. Free speech is important because all it takes is incrementalism, and that's what this is. It would be similar to when we talk about the mandatory health care, okay, which will come up. It will be a can issue, presumably pushed for most strongly by the Democratic candidates. But, this idea of national health care, what it will be is, in essence, mandatory health care. You have to carry some of it, some level of health care for yourself. And if you don't, you'll be fined and penalized, just like with the global warming thing. Find ways to make money off of you by getting you to live as they would have lived, getting you to abide by the rules that you may disagree with, but they're going to say, hey, look, that's how it works now. You know, we're going to find ways to make money off of you and continue to facilitate what we've got going here, which is a pretty good scam. But what I'm saying is that implemented on a statewide level, like in Massachusetts, and then you say, look how successful this is, and then you take it nationwide. Well, it's the same thing with the global government issue. When you've got various countries, especially a collective like the European Union, you know, they pass something like this, and then, you know, other countries are going to start talking about it too. And I guarantee you that will occur. In fact, I don't know exactly if it'll occur, you know, here in the United States, but, you know, we've talked about it before on the program. We've had Ted Pike on a number of times to talk about the hate speech laws, and I heard that he was on with Rick Adams tonight. So, you know, it's obviously moving forward. So all it takes is sort of thing to point at, some success story for them to draw into as a comparison. Say, look how well it's working over here. And then it will go. It will happen. So what I'm telling you all this for is quite simply to be aware of the freedom that you have. And I can't tell you that often enough. I try to stress it quite frequently. You know, freedom is not necessarily the freedom to do things, like freedom to speak and the freedom to worship as you see fit and so on and so forth. It's not just the freedom to do things. It's also the freedom from things, freedom from tyranny, freedom from oppression, so on and so forth. So we have to understand what our rights are, and we have to demand that they are nice. And one of the reasons why we do an interactive show here with the calls and everything else is because we want you to be cognizant of that ability to express yourself. A lot of people choose not to speak, saying, well, I don't have anything to contribute. Who says? You may not think so. What we may feel differently. That's the whole point. You know, after September 11th, and I think on your anniversary of, we have a, in the building I work in here, we have a Spanish station downstairs, and that I know real well. She was down there working at the time. She doesn't work there anymore. And she came up and offered condolences and says, you know, I'm really sorry about, you know, this anniversary and you know, it's got to be hard for you Americans. And she said, I want you to know, you know, we are with you on this. And I thought it was a really nice gesture. It's completely unnecessary, but it was really sweet of her to do. And, you know, that's exactly the kind of person she is. But the point is you think about that, people who come to the country from other places They've seen the things that we speculate about. You know, they've experienced the things that that we hope and pray to never have to endure. People who come to this country from other places appreciate freedoms a lot more than Americans do, for the most part. It's a simple fact. If you've always been exposed to something, the absence of it, you don't really know what it feels like. Now, I think that for the most part, most of us out there do understand and appreciate the restrictions on our freedoms, not necessarily because they have infringed on our personal ability to do things, but because they have the beginnings, the stirrings of individualism. It's a slippery slope, and we're moving quickly downward, and that is something that we try to highlight quite frequently. But again, not to say that there aren't solutions out there. Now, again, we looked read about this horrible story about this blood, and, of course, tying it back to Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, the forthcoming president, who knows what she'll implement in her reign. But we've talked last night about Colonel Joe with his diet that cleans out the blood. So there are solutions, you know. It's just a simple matter of looking for them. Now, we could sit here and scream into the microphone and do backflips and whatnot and yell and holler and slam the counter and throw the microphone and all that, which, you know, I suppose I've done before in the past. But I wasn't where I am spiritually that I am now. And for me, it's a faith issue. For me, everything is. If you look at the way the world has been constructed and you look at all of the different things and how they tie in together, it's a giant puzzle piece. There's nothing here that doesn't have a purpose to some extent. And you could say, well, what's the purpose of this insect to do anything? It does something. You just maybe don't know what it is. Everything has a purpose. You have a purpose. I have a purpose. And everything on the world, every angle that you hear about, if it's real, it ties in. And if it's not real, the fact it was put out there maybe as real ties in because it's an agenda to sway people's mindsets. And that's why we have to always, always, always be searching and looking for what is real, what is not, what is the truth, what is not, because that's the only way we're going to get a more complete picture of the world that we live in. And it is a world of deception. We were born into this. None of us woke up, popped out of mom and said, I get it all. I understand everything. I'm the smartest person alive, and I understand how it works and what's wrong with it, and I plan on fixing it. But first, I got to get past this crapping diaper thing. You know, it doesn't work that way. It maybe does, and we just forget because we're so busy trying to figure out the whole potty training mystery. But what I'm saying, in essence, is that we're all in a learning process. Otherwise, why do we even get out of bed in the morning? If we've got it all figured out, congratulations. You serve no purpose. You're striving for nothing. You're trying to achieve nothing. You're not growing, and you're certainly not helping anyone else grow. So it is what it is. Anyway, have to knock out this break here, folks, and then, we'll get back to my soapboxing, I suppose, or maybe a couple of news stories. We'll see what we got time for. Stay with us.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to clean.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. Now, thanks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, pino oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current herbal newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products.
That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartavite know about pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This tannin of yeast in the gut, metals in the liver, covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, we see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs. 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's well thought out, really. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Welcome back. Glad to be here, folks. Tail end of the fastest 4 hours of talk radio. It has been a blur this evening, and I've enjoyed every second of it. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss about the Virginia Tech situation, all the news that's come out since then, a lot of peculiarities, aside from the things we've already discussed Monday. Also, we're going to talk about some of the mind control programs and things that are out there. We don't know if the shooter here at VT was a mind control victim, but he certainly bears some of the hallmarks of those types of victims. So I don't know. There's a lot to it. We'll cover it tomorrow. We're also get into this global warming segment that we didn't get a chance to delve into here tonight. But in closing, folks, you got to understand something. The powers that be are, they've got power, hence powers that be. They do not have the power that they wish they had. They don't have the power that they'd like to have. And we've said this before on the program, but it does bear some repeating. They're spoiled people. They've never wanted for anything. They've never suffered in any capacity. You and I have done so. We have gone. We have suffered. We have sacrificed. And we have, therefore, been able to, in essence, break ourselves down. Or been broken down. Every one of us has been broken. Or maybe not broken, but certainly you can see the cracks, right? I mean, bent, twisted, contorted, and a lot of unpleasant experiences. A lot of hardships, a lot of trials, tribulations, a lot of calamities, a lot of bad news, a lot of heartbreaking sins and circumstances. We've all been there. Some probably to more others. But we've all been there to an extent. It's about taking what you've been given and doing something with it, and these hardships are an opportunity for you to be sort of more refined, for you to be in a position where you realize what matters in life. And this is why, when you look at the elites out there and the people who are facilitating all this, they've got their hands on some stuff. They own some things. There's a survey done recently, which we'll probably talk about tomorrow, about the super rich. These are people that just have crazy amounts of money. It's at an all-time high in America, but it's still a fraction of the population, indicating that, again, most of us will never even see this kind of money in pictures, let alone have it in our bank accounts or whatnot. But what I'm getting at is that when you have money, and I've known a lot of people who had money at one time, but they don't have it now. When you have money, you're always trying to say, well, I can't dip below a certain level, and I got to get a little more. That's your focus. That's your main goal. That's your faith right there. Your faith is in your ability to make money. Your faith is in that bank account and the ability to give it, to give you everything you want. Be careful where you put that faith, folks, because institutions, organizations, political parties, doctrine, churches, they're all human being oriented, and they will let you down. Even you will probably let yourself down Everybody out there has been disappointed in something they've done or said or didn't do or didn't say at some point in their life. God has never let you down. You may think he has, but I urge you to think back, perhaps, on the way the situation worked out. Wonder, what if it had worked out the way I wanted it to? When you can sit back, spend some quiet time, think deep thoughts about your own life, what got you from there to here, wherever here is, wherever there was, I think you'll find that everything inevitably has made you the person that you are, has made you the person you need to be for what's on its way. If you've experienced some hardship, it has hardened you, it has made you younger, better, and more centered on the one thing that's never let you down, which is hopefully faith. We'll see you tomorrow. With